Blog Talk Radio.
We are peaceful people. I just say we because I'm one of them.
We are very peaceful people. We're not here. We're not trying to cause any problems. But we want our freedoms to stay intact. And see, the G20 meeting is a stepping stone for martial law. I'm talking outside the G7 meeting. And it's also a stepping stone for tyranny. And when you look at how they had the sirens on, the large sirens, now, there's been Popular Mechanics and other magazines, which Popular Mechanics, I don't really like them, but they I like the magazine, though. But they've had a few magazines, articles, and a few government periodicals talking about technology that will be for crowd control. And these crowd control technologies go up to so many decibels that the average person can't stand them. So the more they turn it up, the more they back the crowd away. Okay? They actually had those back in the day when they would use very loud sirens to get the crowd to move. But I was listening to I was at home and I was listening to the Fox coverage, and it was kind of weird because you can hear the person say, "Move away. This is a unauthorized," you know, just like a robot. Just like you would picture one of those movies like, Red Dawn, get away from the, this is unrightful. This is not a place for, rioting, a legal place for rioting, whatever they're saying. But anyway, article here says that the group of 20 leaders built on the common front they forced in fighting the financial crisis to chart a shared path towards a more stable banking system and a stronger global economy. President Barack Obama and his counterparts ended their Pittsburgh meeting yesterday, promising to raise standards towards to ensure banks restrain pay and build up capital buffers. Now, what do you mean by restrain pay? They're talking about giving these executives bonuses as if that's the problem. That's like telling somebody that I cut myself and this is why I got AIDS. I mean, to me, that's the way. I mean, it might be a poor analogy to you, but they're saying that, and this is to ensure banks restrain pay and build up capital buffers. The buffers, I guess, is for giving people a little bit of sweet candy on the side. Here's your pay, your yearly bonus of $1.5 million, which even if you give 25 executives from the same company $1 million, it's only $25 million, and some of these corporations are going broke by the billions. So what is that going to do? Only thing they're doing for the American people and for the rest of the world's people is throwing bones up. They're saying, we know the problem. The problem is giving these people too many bonuses. Come on now. That's just like some walking up to a little kid and telling them, you can kiss a girl and get her pregnant. I mean, you walking up to us as a citizen saying, oh, we pay our executives too much money, therefore this is the reason why we in this problem in the first place. But I got to say this for them positively. At least they're blaming somebody that's in the system. But what if you're a legit executive? I guess that's beside the point. But anyway, the article goes on to say, they also established a peer review process to monitor individual efforts to rebalance economics and to hand emerging nations a greater say in the managing world growth. It says rebalance economies. Wait. Let me read this again. They also established a peer review process. They always got to use technical words for it. They also established a peer review. Peer, that's peer, like your friends, your buddies, your comrades. A peer review process to monitor individual efforts to rebalance economies. That means redistribution of wealth, translation. And to hand emerging nations a greater say in managing the world's growth. Now, you see how they twist that? Emerging nations, which if you start to prosper, you should be able to have some say in it. But I think they mean like the poor countries that's not really emerging, somewhat is emerging, but compared to the United States, you're not emerging. You're not going anywhere. You just look like you're going somewhere. Of course, today's United States, you might be emerging with that. Okay, the article goes on. There is much more work to be done, but we leave here today more confident and more united in the common efforts of advancing security and prosperity for all our people. That means redistribution of wealth, redistributing wealth. That's what it's all about. That's what the New World Order is about. But when it's all said and done, it's going to be in the globalist pockets. See, even the globalists use redistribution of wealth to say, okay, we're going to take from Johnny and give to Pat and then redistribute it to Mary, and then we got our executive guys with the vaults open to take everybody's money. So the globalist's real agenda is to make everybody broke, make us a bunch of peasants relying on them, which it has to be demonically influenced, because Satan feels if he can break everybody, then he's got your worship sooner or later. This is what Satan thinks. If he can get you to rely on him, he got you. Even if you can't stand the fact that you have to rely on this government organization, let me explain what I'm trying to say. If they crash the United States economy on purpose, let's just say the derivative markets, the people who have the keys in the derivative markets, move out the way. And my illustration for this is, let's say a man builds a house for you, and he knows he built in one piece of wood, just in case you don't pay him. One piece of wood. The way he structured the house was so perfect that if he pulls that one peg of wood out of your house, because this man is a genius, the whole house comes tumbling down. But in order for him to do all that, he wants you to pay him another 2 years before he pulls in. Remember, this is a 20-year contract. He's already gotten 15 years from you. He's only got 5 years to go, but you won't want to pay him no more. So he's going to take on. He says, I'm on a little bit more money from this guy. So I'm going to take, in 2 years, I'm going to pull the peg out, including interest. So he does that to you, pulls the peg out, and the whole house collapses. So that's what they're doing to the United States. But the United States was used as a platform to build the New World Order. Okay? Now let's get back to Satan right quick, and then I'll change the subject. Satan, if he can get us poor as a country, if he can get us wanting money or needing something from him, which he is the prince of the power of the air, then he can command or demand worship later on. And I'm going to go ahead and cover another article, but I'm going to be talking about the G20 for a while. So I'm reading from the BBC News about Israel. It says Israel calls for action on Iran. So Israel is calling for specific actions, not just talk from the West. Israel says The disclosure that Iran is building a second nuclear enrichment facility proves it wants to equip itself with nuclear weapons. Now, there's not really anything wrong with countries getting developing nuclear weapons if, you know, they're not going to get in the hands of a crazy person. I didn't feel the same. Like Aminajad, I kind of feel like he's actually could be a threat in the future. But about time he becomes a threat, Israel would have took him out anyway. I don't think Saddam, now I truly didn't think Saddam Hussein was a threat. Just because I come and tell you I'm going to beat you up, don't mean I got the guns to beat you up. Literally, I don't mean guns. I mean, if I go up and talk to, if you get a dude at school saying, I remember when I was in grade school, and a dude named Derek Samples was the toughest guy in my school. And for some reason, I had a bad day. I don't know if I got in an argument with my mom or father or something happened. I just really had a bad day. And he came up to me and tried to beat me up, so I just beat him up. And nobody bothered me again. Okay. Now, we look at Iran as a bully that has automatically, it's like he can just go and push a button right now and kill us all. Now, the United States is the only country I know that ever used the atomic bomb, and that was in Hiroshima. I don't even know if it was atomic. No, it was an atomic bomb, yeah. It was atomic. So, anyway, the article goes on to say, Tehran insists that the site under construction near the city of Qom is being built in line with the United Nations regulations, though this is contested. Iran says it wants atomic power only for the production of electricity. Now, I see major things transpiring even after the Rosh Hashanah holidays. Things start to even speed up more. Now, could God use different various holidays at the appointed time, which 1948? And afterwards, after every holiday, even last year, it seems the things started increasing and going at a rapid speed. Rosh Hashanah was the 19th, 19th and 20th. Right after that, you start seeing, but these things were already planned, like the United Nations meeting, the G20 summit. But it seems like they started to somewhat even increase from those. Even to the point of the G20 riots, because I myself haven't seen any riots that actually the law enforcement actually stood up against the. I've never seen it. I mean, it's been there, like in Seattle. It's been there, but I have never seen it. So now, all of a sudden, the stations and the networks are being much braver to show us these violent outbursts, supposedly. Well, anyway, feel free to call to come into the chat room. I just decided to bring to have this show. Really, I didn't really have any plans, but I'm not gonna. Well, I'm gonna take a break. And then I'll be back. So we are, I'm a Rosh Hashanah person, so no man knows the dead hour, so I still believe that Rosh Hashanah is the time, because all the four feasts were fulfilled. I'm pretty sure the people out there are going to fuss at me and call me a moron, which that's understandable. But I look for Christ's coming, so I won't say anything bad about you as long as you, I mean, well, I still ain't going to say anything bad about you. So I believe that Rosh Hashanah is the time that Jesus would come back and take his church out. And I also believe that there are other things that are going to be going on. With that being said, I believe that we have another year to get the gospel out. Now, no man still knows the damn hour, because he can come and say, "Well, I didn't say that." You know, I mean, I'd be happy. I mean, actuality, you might want me to be right rather than you be right, thinking that it is nice. It could come on any day. But I think that the rapture of the church will come just like the other four feasts. The rapture of the church will be this, the fifth feast that will come upon us very shortly. And God has given us grace to have another time, have another year or two, maybe, to get the gospel out. I do believe strongly that we are there. We just are blessed to have a God that is patient, and he does not want any man to perish. Okay, he doesn't want any man to perish, but come into a relationship with him. And that's what true salvation is. It is a relationship with him. It is not a, I'm trying to do good. It is not a, I want to do good, you know, but I just can't. It's not a, let me go to church today and clean up my act for the day and God and forgive me for the rest of the week. It's not none of those things. It's a relationship with Christ. It is acknowledging God as a person who is in your life daily, right now, not just sometime. He's not a good luck charm. Okay. There are people out there right now who even claim to be Christians who are telling me, and I'm not going to mention who they are, but get into arguments with me in relation to Jesus coming back. And I'm not saying every Christian, that's not a requirement in order to be saved, but God does want us to look for his son. Now, if I can guarantee you right now, there are more people looking for the Antichrist than there are people looking for Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're told to look for Jesus' return. Now, is it a requirement? Probably not. But I think it's a necessity. It's like eating vegetables. Because if you see these things coming, you purify yourself. Well, you'll get right. You'll take the bath in the Word of God. You'll stay in the Word of God. You'll pray. You do what God asks us to do, which is fellowship with God, fellowship with his people, making him Lord of your life, repenting of sins that you know about. asking him for his grace to help you. If you have an addiction, you will say, God, clean me up. See, a lot of people believe that God is going to strike them down because they have been in sin for so long. But that's what God, Jesus died on the cross for us. He died on the cross to take away our sins. He died on the cross that we may enter into heaven. People think they have to get themselves right before they come to God. Purposely or unpurposely demining the cross. See, God paid a penalty for you and me, regardless of our sins. We murdered people. And that murder is going to stick around, especially if you have a conscience. It's going to stick around for ages until you get over it. Women that had abortions, God loves you. He really does. He wants to free you. He wants to free you of that burden. You can't bring back your child, but your child is in heaven. Your child is in heaven, looking down, voting for his mom, saying, come on, mom, you're going to make it. I wonder when we get to heaven and we die before all the tribulation period, all of a sudden we die and we're saved, can we look down? Oh, even can we visit? There could be some truth to the dead. I mean, well, actually the living walking around, the dead living, because the Bible says that God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. So yeah, technically, people are dead. their silhouettes are in the Bible, I mean in the ground, excuse me. Their bodies are in the ground. But they are in heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So these people are bodily wise in the ground, but spirit wise and soul wise in heaven. I feel really remorseful for people who will not make it to heaven. Because I don't even think preachers, I don't even think the church actually fathoms. I don't even fathom. This is a deep, deep thing to think about. I mean, we don't grasp the fact that hell is eternal. I don't think we still grasp it. We might grasp it, like hold on to it for a second or two, but we need to let it sink in so we will want to go out and win people to Christ, even just by a light. You know, Nehemiah had no converts. Jeremiah, deep person, had no converts. But his light shined, and is still shining, because he has a book in the Bible. But we must understand that God's word will not return back void. His word will not come back void. And he's going to make it do what it's going to do. So when we think, let me back up. If you call yourself a Christian and you call yourself and you say, well, I don't have to go out and talk to anybody about God. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to show you. I don't have to do this and this and this. Yes, you're sort of true. But see, if I was born again, supposedly, and I don't say nothing to nobody about Jesus, I have to question your salvation. There is no undercover Christians. There is no closet Christians. If you're gay and you're not, and you're in the closet, nobody's going to know you're gay. If you come out of the closet, somebody's going to know you're gay. If you're a Christian and you're in the closet, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Because if you think about it, if a person's, my daughter's selling candy bars door to door. She comes up to me, Phil, because that's my stepchild, so I let her call me Phil. Phil, I sold candy bars. I got $28. She's so excited about it. Okay. Or let's take, for instance, when I have my kid. I'm in class. I'm sitting in class. I'm just telling everybody about my little 1 year, my new child, my new kid, because I'm excited about it. My son plays football. He tells everybody, you know, I play football. I'm excited about it. Everything that we do that we're excited about, it comes out. So when somebody tells me I don't have to share, I mean, that doesn't mean I'm not saved. You want to bet? You said, I'm saved by the cross. What is inside of you is sooner or later going to come out. And if it never comes out to the surface to somebody else, I'm going to question your salvation. You should know them by their fruits. Now, we should know them by the all general fruits, the whole thing, not just soul winning and all this other stuff. We should know them by their fruits. And some things we're not going to know that might keep them out of heaven. For instance, if you're looking at pornography, don't everybody have to know that you're doing pornography. But whatever is in the dark should come out to the light. If you're masturbating, excuse me, I know this is not the right show to be talking about because I got another show, but I'm just trying to, if you have hidden hate, see, there's things that we can deal with that we know we should deal with, and then there's things that we don't know we should deal with, but we need to know that we should deal with them. I got a problem when I go somewhere, I'm still a male. So God tells me to take every thought captive. And the Bible also says make no provision for the flesh, meaning make no excuses. So if I go to school and automatically, because sometimes it happens where you go 10 days without, you know, looking at an opposite sex, and then your body just pulled to it. And it's what you do after you look at this person. What do you do with that thought? Do you let the thought linger so it can get worse and worse and worse? Or do you cut it out? And some people out there might not know what the heck I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about and you claim to be a Christian, you might be in trouble. Because this could come with anything. It can come with jealousy. It can come with envy. It could even come with watching too much TV. Okay, today was Saturday, and I was watching football. I love football. I love football a lot. Okay. Michigan won. I couldn't catch Michigan State. But I was sitting upstairs, and my little kid was sick, and he's just not getting over the sickness, so he's walking around and, you know, getting into stuff, and I'm regulating him watching football. But see, you can watch too much football or too much television. Now, if you watch it on, like, I pick one day of the week. Let's say Saturday. And then I still watch it throughout the week. But I got to read my Bible. And I don't just say, oh, I'm going to read it for 15 minutes and I'm good. I have to study his Bible just like I eat. But see, we only eat. Some people, if you're a gobbler like me, I'm a gobbler. So I like to gobble food up. If you put some pie in my face, I can eat that up in 2 seconds and be right back getting another piece. But see, I don't want to do that for God's word. Because I'm scared. Don't be scared. I'm scared. Not the scare you think I'm talking about, because he hasn't given me the fear, the spirit of fear, because I got a big God. So if he wanted me to drop dead now, I'll drop dead now. If he says, okay, Satan, you can kill him, that's fine. But I know it's coming from the throne of God. I know God gave Satan, okay, you can go ahead and smack him. So if I'm dead, he said, well, that's kind of crazy for you, want your God to kill you. Well, he's done. He's done with me. Okay? So God has my back. And that's a beautiful thing to know, that my God can supply all my needs. And one of those needs is going to hear that trumpet sound, and I cannot fathom what it's going to look like at the rapture, because it's not going to just be you're going to feel yourself going through the air. You might not even feel yourself going through the air. You might it might just like it's second nature. It's like, you're gone. I mean, you're looking at Jesus, all of a sudden everybody's clapping and hugging each other, and angels are singing choruses. And I ain't talking about no fabricated, stupid, drawing that you see, them art drawings of Jesus with the long, very long hair on the History Channel. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about what it would look like with human beings. And it's deep. So getting back to the sin thing, it's worth going to heaven on the streets of gold instead of the streets of potholes. Because no matter how much Spokane try to fix their roads, it's still going to be potholes in it a year later. Now, I ain't saying I'm a weak person, because don't get me wrong, I'm not a weak person. But at the same time, I could tolerate it, because we live in the United States. But I still would love to hear the trumpet sound. I mean, I'm making plans on getting a new house and all this stuff. My church, some of my brothers and sisters in my church, they got a new house. They're building a new house. And I admire them in a good admiring, not a jealous admiring, a good, like, wow, you guys are cool. And I got a little baby coming, and I want to see her get bigger and stuff like that. But I don't delay Christ's coming. And I mean, I'm just joking when I say this. I don't delay Christ, Jesus coming, because I got things to do. And I mean, delay it in my heart, really don't care if he's coming back or not. I want to see how big my ministry gets. Who gives a darn? The very thing I'm preaching about is the very thing I want. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the kingdom of God. So the rapture happens now. We're closer to the kingdom of God. We're just going to hand over the keys to the 144,000 Jews, the two witnesses, and the angel flying through the sky. But I'm not hooked up to this world. This world has nothing to offer me. I feel sorry for movie stars and actors who get so rich, but it's like they're empty. And then you got people that's po-empty. You got people that are poor, that's in love with money, and don't have no money. Will sell you down a pike for a penny. But why? I mean, they have, before you get raptured, you're going to have to disconnect from everything here. You are going to have to disconnect from everything here. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be handed to you. Not like a spoiled baby. He's not going to give you everything you want, though. I just got to clarify that. But peace is important. If you're stressed out every day, if you're mad at the world, if you got You just can't stand your coworkers. You don't even like your sister. You know, I got three sisters. I don't like one of them. I can't stand them. You know, that type of thing. It's the white man's fault. It's the black man's fault type of person. It's the illegal alien's fault. And then you get those people, political people. We can't fix it. We can fix it. I ain't talking about the people who are call them. What's a good name for us? I say us because I want to, you know, people believe in conspiracies, which is, it's not a conspiracy if you have two pieces of evidence. I don't know why I'm saying this. There's no such thing as a to me, there's no, you know, crazy, wacko, grassy knoll people. If you get two pieces of evidence, it's no longer a conspiracy. I mean, it's not a theory. It's a conspiracy. It's no longer a theory. That's what I meant. A conspiracy theory. If a conspiracy theory has two pieces of evidence, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy. The word conspiracy is not bad. People have been conspiring to kill kings and emperors back in the day and pharaohs. That's why they had a cupbearer. Duh. Jesus was conspired against. A conspiracy is not... the conspiracy is bad, but to say there this is a conspiracy or that is a conspiracy, it's not bad. You know, it's just when you become a wacko about it, yeah, it might be bad. But I think that people on Fox News is more wacko than we are. I was watching the show on 9/11, and I still can't see how people think 9/11 wasn't an inside job. And then they make you feel bad because you think, man, I'm crazy. I must be crazy. Because those planes hit pretty darn far up. There's no way in the world you can get me to buy that. I think even when I was a kid, you wouldn't have got me to buy that. I already thought John F. Kennedy was probably shot by more than one person a long time ago before everybody even thought about it. I was about 11 years old when I was like, Mom, if Kennedy got shot from the back, why is he going backwards? It's like he wanted to be shot. He's trying to find the bullet. I mean, the guy got shot from behind. He was jerked forward, and then the one bullet just knocked him back. Now, all those witnesses on the doggone grassy knoll just made it completely impossible one-man job. They all dead anyway. They all end up dead, hung, all kinds of stuff. But I don't know why I got off so far off track, but as far as living for Jesus for that day that he's going to come, listening for the trumpet sound, not getting so caught up in this world. If you got bills and stuff like that, get out of debt. That's what I'm doing. I don't want any more debt. I hate it. They own you when you get debt. They own you. Cardinal people own you. You know, I'll never finance another car after this one. Never. I think it's a dumb move to finance a car unless you have half of it down. If you want to buy a nice, nice car and you pay half of it down, like if you want to buy a $40,000 car, you put $20,000 down, just go out and get a $20,000 car and forget it. Try to fight with your demons, you know, break away from coveting and just go get a car that you could afford. Or just if you have $20,000 and you want to get a $29,000 car, try to get a $25,000 car with some type of a discount, because why be in bondage to this system? Student loans. I got one more semester to get student loans. That's about it. I'm done. I'm not going any further. I'll finance my own school. God always takes care. Just get out of debt, folks. World War III, when is it going to happen? We don't know. I said in one of my prior shows that if nothing happens this Rosh Hashanah, then there's a good chance that next year, if nothing happens next year, there's a good chance next year. We don't know. I don't know for sure. I just can't come and tell you when I think. I know it's pretty soon. And you're going to be able to look at my archives if you're still here. You're going to be able, like this, you're going to be able to say, yeah, he was right. It's going to be soon. I don't know if it's 2010 or 11. I don't know. I don't think it's 2012 because everybody's looking for it. It could be 2013. It's a better shot being 2013 or 14 than it is 13. Now, I'm not going to come and say I'm sure, 100% sure it's 2010 or 11. I'm not going to do that. But I am looking for his blessed hope. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for my Savior to come down and blow and shout, "Phil, come up here!" What a glorious day that's going to be. And I'm not one of those people who, I'm actually absorbed by it. I mean, I got a ministry. I'm doing things. I got money. I'm pretty good, much got money. You know, I don't have to, you know, kill myself. But, you know, I have goals. I want to take my wife on a trip. You know, I want to do this and this and this. We got a family next year. Me and my wife trying to actually planning it. And it's her side of the family that I'm supposed to be helping her build a website. But, I mean, you know, I'm in a position that, you know, I got it. I occupy until he comes. And I do a darn good job of it. I don't go out and, I'm going to start taking my kids out to bowling and stuff like that. But I'm not in the world, you know, stuck to it. My office doesn't have Detroit Lions. Of course, you want to use Detroit Lions. But my office, I mean, I don't glorify any human. I respect people. The President of the United States, you know, that position. I don't really too much know if I respect this one. But I'm not hooked up to the world. At least I don't think I am. I try to, you know, keep a real sense of the deal, you know. If I'm watching TV, I try my best not to let this, you know, Hollywood mold my thinking and shape my thinking. I'm in schools, I'm in class, and I haven't been I've already got all my history classes out of the way and things like that. I haven't got a chance to take a psychology class, but I'm going to make sure nobody, and if I go to, you know, Eastern Washington, if the Lord wills, after I get done with this school, I promise that I'm not going to let anybody mold and shape my thinking. I love to read, and I love to do, I love to just learn about some, you know, conspiracy theories that people say, but it's not a theory, it's a conspiracy. It's like calling Jesus Christ dying, the Romans and all his other conflicts at his time of, you guys fell asleep. I mean, stuff like that, to me, that's a conspiracy. You get too many pieces of evidence, the body's not there. I mean, I just skipped all the other little evidence and just, wow, that's crazy. The body's not there. It's no longer a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy. Even the Space Shuttle Challenger, the first one, there was all kinds of... Now, if it's unfoggy, you still need evidence. You still need some clear evidence. But if it's foggy, and there's a lot of speculation that this might have happened, and you can't go by he say, she say, then police ain't going to pick you up by that. But they are going to ask witnesses questions. They are going to say, where were you at this time? Or they're going to say, what was wrong with this canister? Or what was wrong with this? Why is there cracks here? You know, there's going to come a point now if NASA need money and they just trying to blow up something so they can come back and, you know, get money from the government, that's one thing. That's a big-time conspiracy. So I don't know. I don't think that happened. But I'm trying to make a point that a conspiracy is a conspiracy theory with at least one, two pieces of evidence. Come on now. They usually come pick you up if your alibi is not good. If you did something, your alibi is bad. It's no longer a theory that you did something. They have enough. If they got enough evidence, they're going to come pick you up. Well, who was driving your car then? My Uncle Melvin. What was your Uncle Melvin?
Well, he was at work.
Okay, Miss Betty. You're his husband? Her husband, his husband. Uh-oh. 21st century. Anyway, okay, I hope nobody will take that seriously. I was just joking about that. We as a country, need to just enjoy this next 4th of July. I mean, really. And I don't know if I said this last 4th of July, because I had my program going then, but we really need to just relax on the 4th of July. I mean, just enjoy it. Suck it up. Because you never know. I said this back in 2008. The closer we get, the more, you know, every day that you wake up in the morning and breathe the air should be a day that you know, thank God that you have that day. But now, take it from me. If y'all don't take any advice from anybody, just take this advice. Just enjoy these holidays coming up. Even if you live in Spokane and you get snow, 300 feet of snow, enjoy while you can. Because things can change overnight. I still think 2010 will be an eventful year, big time. And the rapture of the church could happen 2010 or 11. I've been saying that for a while. It used to be 2008, 9, 10, or 11. And it's always been 2008, 9, 10, or 11. You know. And I'm not a prophet. I will say I was a prophet. I'm a watchman, so I'm going to be watching. I started a Blog Talk Radio program called Zomega, Zomega2Radio.com, and I also got a website called Zomega2. I got to give it a facelift next week. And then I got a website called Zomega2Radio, which on this Zomega2, I'm going to be featuring different ministries throughout the internet, or throughout, you know, that is gospel, that sticks with the basics of Christianity, not just they go way out there and they explore. Now, there's going to be some people on there that talks about weird things, but it's going to be still in the premise of the Word of God. Marzulli, there's a guy named Marzulli who talks about UFOs, but he's still grounded in the Word. Or Steve Quayle, he talks about different, like, angels, fallen angels and stuff like that, but he's still in the Word. But most of the time I'm going to have people on my show have to deal with, you know, how to improve your credit as a Christian, how to, you know, have a better marriage, or is alcohol wrong or right? But at the same time, it's going to be what my heart believes the Bible is telling me. So if I had on this Omega 2, so it's going to be a radio program dealing with different ministries. So don't get mad if you hear you're going to call and somebody start listening to my program saying, well, can I call in and talk to that person? Well, it's not a person. It's a show. It's a show that I uploaded onto my show. You're familiar with radio programs. You be in the car listen to Christian radio station. They got a speaker, and it's, the speaker's not there. He's just, they just playing the audio. Well, this program is going to be based off that. It's all going to be, but also based off my site. It's going to be called Omega Tube. It's like YouTube, and I might give it a different name because somebody had said there's too many tubes out there, which is so. So I might just change it to Zomega something else. But I'm going to keep the name Zomega. And then also, I'm going to make a website called Rapture Reality TV. And I'm working on that right now. So I got a few projects that I'll hopefully get off the ground in the next 2-3 weeks. And then some people probably say, well, you're doing too much. Well, I'm doing too much because I enjoy it. I actually really enjoy talking to you people. And it don't take long to, especially what I'm going to start doing for the Prophecy Zone radio program is preparing for it, because I don't really read the article. I just say, oh, this is a good article. I read it. I know what it's talking about, but I don't study the article. I will probably be able to explain it and articulate more. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Now, for my other shows, I got, I'm talking to people how to get free, which is in Christ, to get free from sexual addictions or smoking or alcohol. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. People might not like the simplicity of it, but how to get over an abortion. You know, if you're feeling sorrowful, I feel deeply sorrowful for women who had an abortion who feel sorrowful. So God wants to, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I give you rest for your souls. I apologize to everybody out there who I don't really look at the chat room. I been having bad luck with phone call-ins. There was this individual call, and he always used 11111. I shouldn't say that because he might come back with 22222. But I've been having bad. If you listen to some of my shows, I've been having some bad. I have to hang up on them real quick, or you know, say something very offensive. One person says something offensive about the president. I mean, he's not my favorite president, but at the same time, I don't think we need to be saying racial slurs. And you're gonna spend this much time. You're gonna come here on my show at 10:30 tonight time, and if you're on the West Coast, it's probably even later. On the East Coast, I mean, earlier, whatever you want to call it. You're going to spend that time just to come bother me? He was talking, asking me, do I want any crumbs? And the one girl on my chat room was saying that she thinks the person was racist, which I don't know what the crumbs mean. But I think it's demonically influenced. If I'm going to be a threat in the future, I mean, I might not have a lot of listeners because I really need to start putting in the time to invite even my friends to listen to my show. So, and it's probably going to get more popular coming months, you know. And I just have bad luck. I haven't even read the, and I apologize. I'm going to start reading the chat room. I'm just going to suck it up and read it. And I can't walk and chew gum all at the same time, so. You're going to have to bear with me. I'm going to go off with my new theme song to come on with so y'all can just listen. And y'all have a wonderful day. I'll be praying for y'all out there. God bless. Good night.